serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. Hey, I want to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God tonight. Tonight is our midweek Bible study. Starts at 7 p.m., goes till 8 p.m. We're talking about Exiting Egypt. It's a book by Julie West. We did a couple of radio broadcasts with her, but we're going through her Bible study on the book of Exodus and what it means to us, how we can learn some of the lessons that happened in the book of Exodus and apply those to our lives so that we can walk in the freedom that God wants us to walk in, the freedom to live the life he plans for us. That's truly what that freedom is all about. It's not the freedom to do whatever we want. It's the freedom to walk in obedience to God's plan. So hopefully you can join us tonight, 7 p.m., as we go through the book of Exodus. Want to do remind you that this is the week of the spring offering, week number one. WMIE has financial needs that arise, and they have a special fundraiser twice a year, every 6 months, and they ask people to prayerfully consider partnering with this ministry as it takes the gospel of Jesus Christ all throughout Brevard County and around the world through some of the internet broadcasts that are available as well. So if you would consider a six-month commitment, 321-632-1000 is the way that you could call in, and they would be very, very appreciative of any support that you might be able to make available. So they do a wonderful job of keeping the equipment all up to speed, and that stuff is not inexpensive. It is essential, and without that equipment, the Refresh Radio program would not be able to be here. So thank you for prayerfully considering supporting WMIE and their ministry here in Brevard County. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 25 through 32 again. I think we could possibly finish this study here on the fact that the Father was moved with compassion. Really, the Father is the focal point of all three of these lost stories here in Luke chapter 15. So, verse 25 says, "Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" So we've been talking about some of the accusations that the oldest brother was making against the father. And The last of which is, you never gave me the least thing to celebrate or to have that same euphoric type of celebration that was going on inside of the house for the younger son, the wasteful son, who had come home. Well, when I was looking at that, he said, you killed the fatted calf for him. You wouldn't even give me a goat. I recognize that God is our provider. And so I would just like to share a few things with you that God has given to us. He's given us breath. He's given us the ability to hear, the ability to speak, the ability to see, the ability to have a heartbeat. He's given us the ability to remember, to have a job, to be productive. He's given us family and friends, people with whom we can have a close bond. He's given us forgiveness of our sins. He's given us a new name, a new life, a new hope. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All of those things are much more important than goat. I don't even like goat. So, if I don't want to set the standard for the source of celebration to something that is not even desirable. I want to focus on the wondrous things that God has given to me. And what this older son misunderstanding was the father celebrating with the younger son did not shortchange the celebration that the father had towards the older son. So the older brother's accusation is, this son of yours. That was how the older brother identified the younger brother. It is not the way that the father refers to the younger son when he's addressing the older son's complaint. He doesn't say, my son. He says, your brother. Your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. He said, this wasteful son of yours has consumed or devoured your livelihood. One of the things that I had to come to realize when I was in business was, even though I wanted to be a faithful steward of the resources the company I worked for had entrusted to me, ultimately they were still their resources. When I thought they were making bad decisions and it was really bothering me, God said, as I was praying about it, this is not your problem to worry about. They're their resources. And so the older son was actually trying to frame his displeasure at the fact that the younger brother had violated, had traumatized the father. And I'm sure that there were tears. I'm sure that there was disappointment. But all of that moved out of the way when the son came home and was restored to a healthy place instead of a harmful place. He said he's been out there squandering or consuming your livelihood with harlots instead of walking in covenant faithfulness. And he said, and in your celebration, you're sparing no expense for him. The one thing that I continue to remind people is that whenever we are going to lay out our accusations or our complaints before God, you need to be very, very careful about that, because God has the opportunity to respond. And so in verse number 31, the Father responds. Remember, he's the one who left the celebration. He's the one that came out of the house. He's the one that was urging and imploring the older son to come in and celebrate this great reconciliation that was taking place. And I guarantee you that the son who returned was not going to have the same problems as the son who departed. Same individual, different heart, different perspective, different appreciation. So as soon as the oldest son has made his presentation, I want you to listen to the father's heart. You might look at it and focus on something different than what I'm getting ready to share with you. We'll get into that too. But the first thing he says is son. You know, there was a movie, and movies are, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours of fantasy but every once in a while there is an event that takes place in a movie that has a very compelling scene in it. I think it was Indiana Jones and the Search for the Holy Grail that had Sean Connery in it with Harrison Ford. And there's this cup, and there's all sorts of horrible things that happen to people who are reaching for the cup, and it's just outside of their grasp, and the villainous has died reaching for the Holy Grail, and now Indiana Jones sees it and he's stretching for it, and he's very determined to get it, and Sean Connery, who plays his father, simply says, "Indy." And he never called him that. It was a term of endearment, and it reshifted the focus to where that thing that was so desirable that people were willing to die for it wasn't as important as his relationship with his father. The younger son came home and said, "Father, I've sinned." Now the father is saying to the oldest son, "Son, don't forget your relationship with God. Your relationship with him is more important than our duties. Our privileges of ministry birth out of our relationship with him, so that he empowers us by God the Holy Spirit to be able to point people to Jesus, who forgives sins and reconciles people to the Father. It's all about relationship. And can we be trusted with the Father's business. Jesus, when he was 12, and they were saying, why did you do this? Why didn't you make this? Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? It was all about the Father for him. So he was watching to see what God the Father was doing, hearing what God the Father was saying, prioritizing the relationship with the Father and his timeline and his plans and purposes. Son, you are always with me. Wow. You want a goat? I'm thankful that I've got you. The Father values those relationships. And, Mother's Day is coming up here soon. We've got some milestone celebrations coming up in our family. And normally there's some posts that show up on social media about, all they really want to do is hear from their kids. And the father came out not to pacify the son, but to inform the son of just how important he was to him. The father wasn't playing favorites, wasn't celebrating the prodigal at the expense of the dutiful son. He valued them both. He said, and get this, the son never grasped this reality. Where the younger son looked and said, hey, I've got a share in this and I want it now, the older brother had never put it into perspective that everything that the father has is mine. The father says, all that I have is yours. You and I are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But never forget, when speaking with Abram, the father said, I am your exceeding great reward. It's the relationship with the father that is the ultimate celebration. And, a lot of times when we don't understand things, the book of Jude says they blaspheme or speak evil about things they don't understand. When we don't understand, we tend to run loose with our lips. All of a sudden we're saying things without necessarily processing them through our faith. We've just taken our foot off the brake and we're letting our emotions and our intellectual confusion run rampant. And I can tell you from my experience as a child that whenever you're on a motorized vehicle and you don't understand really what's going on and you're frozen, you can find yourself in a real pickle. and so we need to make sure that we don't let our temporary outburst birth from our frustration and our lack of understanding. We need to make sure that we speak words of life. And exiting Egypt, one of the things that was mentioned in there is that we are charged with the responsibility of speaking words of healing, not speaking words of trauma. There's already enough harm and damage in the world. God has positioned us to be his ambassadors, to bring words of hope and words of healing. You are always with me. All I have is yours. And then he says this, it was right. We should make merry and be glad. just because you think something is wrong doesn't make it wrong. The Father said, I am the one that knows what is the right thing to do. And we're going to celebrate life. We're going to celebrate forgiveness. We're going to celebrate repentance. We're going to celebrate transformed lives. We're going to celebrate all of that. And he said, it was the right thing to do, to celebrate, to have this euphoric moment in time. Was it going to last forever? No, because there was still work to be done. There's going to come an endless celebration in the presence of God. You don't want to miss it for the world, but you don't want to miss the celebrations here and now. Make sure, you know, we're getting close to school being out here in a few weeks, and don't forget to celebrate your family. Celebrate them. Your kids do something great, celebrate it. Celebrate the victories, and you know, help them to understand that if they make a mistake, that it doesn't have to be, you know, the end of the world. It can be an educational experience that they can grow for. So God said it, celebrating is the right thing to do. Isn't it interesting? God tells us to celebrate things the world doesn't want us to celebrate, and the world wants to celebrate things that God wants us to abhor. We need to make sure that we use God's righteous standards, not the world's unjust standards. And then he says this, son, your brother. I hope that we believers here in Brevard County could realize that we're not competitors. We're brothers. Same Father, same good news, same Savior, same Word of God. And, you know, every once in a while, there's a post, you know, hey, looking for a church, and everybody, hey, my church is fantastic. This church over here, our church is the fantastic. And here's what my response is. Hi, I'm the pastor of Merit Assembly of God. We will be praying for you that God will strategically place you here in Brevard County to where you can thrive in your relationship with Him and have maximum impact for the kingdom of God. Because I'm not going to compete. Not going to do it. I'm not going to be territorial. I'm going to celebrate the body of Christ and realize that I'm not trying to grow Merit Assembly of God by convincing people from other churches to come to Merit Assembly of God. That's not kingdom growth. That's congregational growth. And I could tell you there are some really disappointing things that happen whenever there's a territorial mindset that goes on. And I don't want to be a part of that. I want to see there's, let's put it this way. There are plenty of prodigals here in Brevard County. We need all of the churches so that they can, no matter how far away they've run from their home, they can always find a brother or a sister that believes in them close by. Your brother was dead. He was lifeless, and now he is revived. He's alive again. He was lost. He was perished. He was destroyed. Those are some of the words. And now he's found. He's been discovered. He's arrived. He has arrived back home, and he has arrived in a much better state, a much better mindset, a much better understanding of what life is truly all about. He's in a much better position right now. Let's celebrate the the progress. By the way, I'll throw this out there as well. We tend to be people who, if we're not careful, we don't understand the steps. We think if it's not everything right now, then we don't want it. We want all or nothing. And I can tell you from just having made a trip, when I got in my vehicle, there was a lot of miles in between the beginning of the journey and the ending of the journey. But celebrate the journey. And instead of there being an estranged son from a father, and that created an estranged relationship with the older brother, which created a strange relationship with the father, what if we said, you know what, we're not going to let the failures of our past define us, but we're going to let the father set the culture for the house. That's what we want to do. Without his presence, we're nothing. But with his presence, people who've squandered everything can suddenly find a treasure that's worth more than they've ever spent. And with his presence, people who have served without joy can suddenly find that there's some things they didn't know, and there's some things that they can adjust in their life. Like I said, the Father is the focal point of the latter part of Luke chapter 15. And what brought us here is what we've been studying, is that the Father was moved with compassion. It doesn't say that he was moved with compassion for the older son, but he was. It says he was moved with compassion and ran to where the younger brother had been seen on the horizon as he was making his way back home. No matter how far away you are from God, you are one breath away from his presence. He will come with compassion. He will come with speed. He will come with urgency. He will come with mercy. He will come with grace. He will come with forgiveness. He'll come with power. God the Father is moved with compassion for you and for me. Let's celebrate the compassion of the Father. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.